2 Timothy chapter 2, be looking at verses 1 through 4. It's Memorial Day, and as Pastor Dan was saying, it's a day to remember those that gave their lives for our freedoms. And as he said, what an awesome freedom we have here to be able to openly worship our Lord and Savior and to share the truth with others. And that's what this day is all about. And those of you who've heard me preach before, who know me, know that I love history. And every time I get up here, I use it as an opportunity to share a little history lesson. I love sharing little bits of history. And it's not just for the fun of it. There's a reason why I love history. And the reason why I love history is because you learn from the past. You know, if you don't remember history, you don't remember whether it's, you know, a nation's history or your own personal history. If you forget the things of the past, you're what? You're doomed to repeat them. And that's what today is about, is to remember the people who gave their lives, because if they didn't, we wouldn't have these freedoms. Never forget those freedoms, or we may be doomed to repeat things that really will not turn out well. And so in memory of that message, what I wanted to do on share a little story with you. On February 19th, 1945, Operation Detachment began on a small island in the Pacific. This operation would become more commonly known as the Battle of Iwo Jima. The fighting on this island would last until March 26th and would include some of the fiercest combat actions in World War II, and was fought by the Navy, Army Air Forces, and the 3rd, 4th, and 5th Marine Divisions. By the end of this 36-day battle, imagine that, fighting for 36 days. At the end of this 36-day battle, there were more than 26,000 American casualties, including 6,821 Marines and sailors that gave their lives to win this small piece of real estate in the Pacific. Of the estimated 22,000 Japanese soldiers that were defending that island, you want to know how fierce the fighting was. Of the estimated 22,000 Japanese soldiers defending the island of Iwo Jima, only 216 were taken captive. The rest gave their lives trying to defend that island. That was some fierce, tough fighting. Listen, this battle would give us one of the most memorable images of the fighting in World War II. And many scholars say it was this photo that helped reinvigorate the American people behind the cause and really gave the motivation. And it's the silhouette on the top of your handout. And that's the flag raising on top of Mount Suribachi. It was also the battle in which Admiral Nimitz stated, among the Americans who served on Iwo Island, uncommon valor was a common virtue. That word valor means strength of mind or spirit that enables a person to encounter danger with firmness and personal bravery. Listen, in the face of mighty hardships and battles, those Marines and sailors fighting on Iwo Jima exhibited that kind of personal bravery time and time again. You know, this type of bravery that is only heard in myth stories or seen occasionally, Admiral Nimitz said, was a common virtue on that day. It was that common virtue of valor that led to the 26,000 casualties, the 6,821 giving their lives for that freedom. And listen, most of us, I would say, we're not fighting that kind of battle today, are we? We're not out there fighting. We got the young men and ladies out there serving, but we're typically here, those of us here, aren't fighting that kind of battle. But listen, life itself can seem like a battleground for most people, can it? Get this in your handout. There are many hardships and strongholds, many hardships and strongholds that we can face each day. Whether it's loss of work, illness, discouragement, addictions, or many, many other things that can overwhelm a person. But listen, the good news is you don't have to let these struggles weigh you down. You can find the strength in Christ to endure life's hardships. You can in Christ find that uncommon valor to endure through the hardships of life. So how can you find that strength to endure? Let's look at that tonight. We're going to see how we can find that uncommon valor in Christ. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul's writing here to the young Timothy, his son in the faith, he called him. He was mentoring him, and now Timothy's out there serving in the ministry. And he's writing to give him some encouragement and instruction. And he says, in verse 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." How are you going to find that uncommon valor? Well, the first way is by facing life struggles focused on Christ. You got to face the struggles of life completely focused on Christ. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Listen, in your handout it says, it is not a matter of if struggles will come your way. It's not a matter of if, but a matter of when they will come. Listen, he tells Timothy here, he says, listen, endure hardness. He doesn't say you might have to endure hardness, Timothy. He says, no, endure hardness. Listen, he's implying that this hardness, this trouble, these struggles are going to come your way. You need to endure. It's not a matter of if, Timothy. It's going to come. We all face hardships of some kind. And in fact, listen, some of you out here right now are probably right in the midst of a personal battle, a personal struggle, some kind of stronghold in your life, something kind of weighing you down. We all have them, and I know some are out there struggling. But what's important to understand is not the type of struggle that you're in. That's not your main focus. Don't focus on the type of struggle. Don't focus on the loss of work. Don't focus on the struggling with the substance. Don't focus on this discouragement. It's not the type of struggle that's the main focus, but how you handle that struggle. That's what matters. And in verse 3 here, Paul confirms to Timothy, he says, listen, you're going to have to endure hardness. Listen, that word endure means that he's got to go through it. He's not going to be pulled away from it. It's not going to poof, magically disappear. But he's confirming that, listen, you're going to make it through. But you got to endure. It's just part of life. But then Paul doesn't stop there. He gives him some great insight in how he can endure. Look at verse 3 again. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness." It's coming. You got to go through it. But look what he says. "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Listen, when you're faced with a problem or a struggle, what you focus your time and energy on will affect the choices you make and then will determine how you handle that problem. What you focus your time and energy on is going to help determine the choices you make. Listen, a good soldier doesn't let opposition, all right, destroy his determination to accomplish the mission. He keeps moving forward. If that wasn't the case, those over 6,000 Marines and sailors would never have given their life. The minute the first bullet flew past their head, they'd run for the beach, but they didn't. If it wasn't for that enduring hardness, that facing that struggle and moving forward, that flag would never have been raised on top of Mount Suribachi. And that's the same way with our life struggles. When you're faced with a problem or a struggle, don't focus on the harsh things. You got to focus on the right things. You know, in the Marine Corps, we had a saying. Whenever we faced hardships, we had a saying, you had to apply mind over matter. We didn't mind because it didn't matter. The problem was still there. Okay? You can get all worked up. You can get angry. You can get frustrated. You can worry. But guess what? It's still there. So apply a little mind over matter. So what? There's a problem. Let's find a solution. Get this in your handout. It says worrying. The blank is worrying. Worrying over a struggle won't make it go away. Worrying over a struggle won't make it go away. It won't roll back time. And it won't give you a solution. Okay? Worrying isn't going to just poof, make things go away. My mom had a saying she had on the refrigerator, I remember growing up, and it always stuck with me. It said, worrying or worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. You know, I shared with the 9:30 service. You know, if you wanted to go to the grocery store, all right, hey, I'm going to go to the grocery store, plop down that rocking chair and start rocking. All right? I can rock all day. I'm still not going to get to the grocery store. Listen, that's what worrying does. Sure, it keeps you busy, but it doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't solve any problems. There is a better way. Look at your handout. There's a great verse from Scripture here. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7. He says, be careful for nothing. That word careful means anxious, worrying. I mean, you could even apply fear in there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen, instead of focusing on the problem, you need to focus on the solution. And that solution is Jesus Christ. He says, don't worry. Don't get caught up in the worrying. If you feel worrying coming on your life and you find yourself sitting down in that rocking chair of worry, get up and pray. Get on your knees instead and take it to the Lord. He says, don't fret over it. Give it to me. And if you'll give it to me, I'm going to keep your heart and your mind. That word keep means a watcher in advance. It means to mount a guard as a sentinel to protect. He says, listen, if you'll take your eyes and your mind off that worry and focus it on me, I will guard your heart and mind and give you a peace that you can't even comprehend. It goes beyond all understanding. All understanding. But you got to be focused on Christ. Listen, God will guard you from succumbing to the weight of your struggle. But the key to this is focusing on Christ through life's struggles. The second way is by turning away from worldly distractions. You got to be focused on Christ and turned away from worldly distractions. Look at verse 4 in 2 Timothy. Paul writes here, he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Listen, Paul's using an illustration here of a soldier to describe how you should face the struggles of life. And he mentions that just as a good soldier stays focused on his duty, you shouldn't let worldly distractions keep you from focused on Christ. Listen, the Marines, the soldiers, sailors, airmen, whatever branch you were in, if you were worth your weight there, you were focused on being the best airman, the best sailor, the best Marine. You were focused on the duty. You didn't let all these other things go astray. When I was in comm school out at 29 Palms, I feel sorry for the 9:30. They missed this story. But I just thought of it during the in-between. When I was at comm school at 29 Palms, California, one of the things they would do is they would pull just surprise inspections. They called them health and comfort inspections. But really what they were is let's make your life miserable inspection. But the idea is we were out of boot camp. We're kind of operating a little bit on our own. And they stuck four Marines in a room And it was to make sure that we weren't living like pigs and we weren't messing up. And we had to stand out in formation, and one by one they would call the rooms up. Well, they called up this one group, and there was a whole big ruckus going on in the room, and all of us down in formation are going, wow, there's something going on major out there. I'm glad I wasn't in that room. And all of a sudden, one of the guys comes out, and he's walking like this. And he's got like all these shirts and pants and everything and all these hats. Well, he had taken all of his civilian clothing, and they were all hanging up wonderful. And all of his uniforms were shoved in the bottom of his wall locker. The instructor saw that, oh, and flipped out. They made him put on every single piece of civilian clothing and had to walk around all day like that. Why? Because he focused more on worldly distractions than his duty. Than his duty. And that's the same idea here. That's what Paul is saying. Don't get caught up in all these worldly distractions. Don't make that the priority. You got to be focusing on Christ. All that worldly stuff is just going to get you entangled. He says, don't be entangled. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That word entangle means to entwine or to get involved with. It carries the idea of becoming deeply interconnected with worldly trappings instead of resting in God's truth. I thought of this. I got a picture up here of a tree. Look what's going on with that tree. I mean, it's just totally entwined with all these vines. What do you think's going to happen to that tree eventually? It's going to die because it can't get to the sunlight it needs. It can't get to the nutrients it needs. And that's the same idea. Listen, just like the vines can choke out the life of a tree, so can worldly distractions to your relationship with Jesus Christ. You focus on worldliness and the stuff of this world instead of Christ, and your relationship is just going to be choked out. Choked out. Get this in your handout. When you allow the things of this world to take priority in your life, you open the door for struggles to overwhelm you. When you allow the things of this world to take priority in your life, you open the door for struggles to just overwhelm you and kill out that relationship. Up on the PowerPoint, I have 1 Timothy chapter 6, 9 through 10. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Look at that. They desired riches and things more than they did their relationship with Christ. And as a result, they pierced themselves with what? Many sorrows. Sorrows. He says, they that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Man, you make the things of this world a priority, it's just opening you up for those struggles to overwhelm you. In your handout, it says, as you make your relationship with Jesus Christ more of a priority in your life, instead of worldly distractions, you'll be doing what the Bible calls walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. And listen, as you do this, it brings some great results in your life. Up on the PowerPoint, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit. Look at this. This is what the fruit, the Spirit will produce in your life as you walk in the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. You're walking in the Spirit. Nothing can break that. That'll just be your life. He'll live it through you. It'll be a fruit. It'll produce. You want that love, that joy, that peace. You got to be walking in the Spirit. There's a great verse in your handout. And this is an awesome verse. I love it. Those that come out to Freedom Found on Monday and Friday nights, I share this verse all the time. They're probably getting tired of hearing it. But it's an awesome verse and you can't get enough of it. Look at it, Galatians 5:16. There's a great promise here. God's promising us, he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You don't want those worldly distractions to overwhelm you, to get a stronghold in your life. You need to be walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, that ain't going to happen. You won't succumb to those vines of the world. Those worldly distractions won't choke out your relationship with Christ. You'll be walking in that freedom that only Christ can provide. Listen, don't let the vines of this world choke out your joy that only the Lord can bring in your life. Turn away from worldly distractions and focus on Christ. And the third way is by helping others to find strength to endure in Christ. By helping others to find the strength to endure in Christ. Look at verse 2. He's writing to Timothy here. And he tells him, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." He says, Timothy, all those things I taught you, all those things you see me do, take them, grow, but now find others who are faithful and teach them. Listen, I'm one person. I can only reach so many people. But listen, if I'll find somebody who's hungry for that life in Christ and take them under my wing and teach them and share with them and pray with them and get them rooted and grounded, now there's two of us going out. And now we can get two people. And now there's four of us. And so on and so forth. Listen, all of us as the body of Christ doing this as we learn and grow, if we'll go out and share that with others, it'd be amazing to see the change that could happen in this world. Listen, Paul encourages Timothy, find faithful men he can mentor, who'll then be able to help others. It's not just applying to Timothy, it applies to all of us. In your handout it says, as you learn more from God's Word, as you learn more from God's Word, apply His truth in your life. Okay, as you learn more from God's Word, apply His truth in your life and find comfort from life's struggles, you are to share that comfort with others. As you learn and you start living out God's truth, you're now to take that and share it with someone else. There's another great verse up on the PowerPoint here. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. It's an awesome verse. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, not some, but all. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Listen, God's going to carry you through that trouble and that struggle. He's going to give you the comfort. He's going to give you that peace. But He doesn't tell you to just, okay, great, have a wonderful day now. He says, no, I'm comforting you so you can take that comfort and share it with someone else. Listen, that's why I'm doing Freedom Found, because I know the struggles I went through and the comfort that I found through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want others to know that the same thing He did in me, He can do in you. I think of the Schoenwetters doing Grief Share and the loss that they had with their son, another former Marine. Now they can take that experience and share it with others. And so on and so forth. Listen, there are so many people hurting and struggling in this world. People that live just right down the street from us. They're out there. And they just need some encouragement. They need to know that strength and that peace that comes only through Jesus Christ. But listen, it takes more than one man or woman to reach out to others. I got a photo here of that flag raising up on Mount Suribachi. That's the awesome photo. Now, what's the one amazing thing about this photo? Is there one Marine up there doing it? No, it's a group working together. The only way that flag got up on the top of Mount Suribachi is a group of men, a group of Marines and one sailor working together to raise up that symbol of freedom. And listen, that's the same way here. God gives us the comfort. He gives us that joy and that peace so that we can work together so that the greatest symbol of freedom of all, and that's our Savior, Jesus Christ, could be raised up and shine forth throughout all our communities. It's the only way. One man, one lady can't do it all by themselves. That same comfort, that same strength, that same uncommon valor. As you see it in your life, help others to endure in Christ as well. Listen, as you grow in your relationship with Christ, don't just keep it to yourself. Share that relationship with others. Help others to lift up that ultimate symbol of freedom, Jesus Christ. If you desire to exhibit uncommon valor in Christ, you must face life struggles focused on Christ. You must turn away from worldly distractions, and you must help others to find strength in Christ. There's only one way that these principles, okay, there's only one way that these principles will take hold in your life. And verse 1 has the key. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He says to Timothy here, he says, Thou therefore, my son, here's the key, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You want to have that uncommon valor in your life facing those struggles? You want that uncommon valor? It starts in Christ. It starts with having that relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It comes with acknowledging and understanding that you have sinned before God and that there's nothing you can do. There's no amount of strength you can have on your own to build that relationship. But that's what's awesome. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Our sin only leads to death. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to pay that ultimate penalty for our sins. And then He rose from the dead on the third day, defeating death. All you have to do is trust in Him, accept that free gift, and you have that awesome freedom, that awesome ability to have that uncommon valor through Christ, through your struggles. It starts with that growing relationship in Christ. And look at your last point. It says, your strength to endure is found through a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It starts right there with a growing relationship with Christ.